Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you today. There's a story of two Southern elderly ladies who were sitting together in the front pew of a church listening to a fiery preacher give his sermon. And when the preacher condemned the sin of stealing, these two ladies cried out to the top of their lungs, "Amen, brother." And then when the preacher condemned the sin of lust, they yelled even louder, "Preach it, Reverend." And then when the preacher condemned the sin of lying, they jumped to their feet and screamed, "Right on, brother, tell it like it is, amen." But when the preacher condemned the sin of gossip, the two got really silent. One turned to the other and said, "He quit preaching, now he's meddling." Recognition of one's own sin is a hard pill to swallow at times, but it's a pill that we all face from time to time. Today we see Paul continuing on his teaching about sin out of the book of Romans. But to review, let's go back just to what we covered a little bit last week, just for a few seconds here, of the highlights of what we did last week. We established last week that when we receive Christ into our lives, we are reborn. Our spirit is reborn, right? We become righteous. That is, we become right with God. It's not a self-righteousness. It is a righteousness only made by God as he makes us right in him. Paul reminds us that we are no longer a slave to sin. That is, sin no longer has control over us. And in light of that, I mentioned that we need to get rid of the idea of calling ourselves sinners, as a sinner does not let God have control of their lives. We also covered that our bodies are glorified and become the temple where God resides and as we allow him in. And our soul is going through this process that we call sanctification, which is a word that means a work in process. We are growing in him. We allow the Lord to change us from within. Last week, I titled my sermon, "Wake Up," because that is what happens when we are transformed and that transformation takes place. We wake up. But we also need to stay awake. And I think that's what Paul is getting at as he continues on this teaching on this dreaded subject of sin that we sometimes don't like to hear about. Although we are no longer sinners, we still have a sin nature that tries to constantly get our attention. And that is where Paul picks up this teaching from last week. Here's a guy who had one of the most dramatic conversions in the Bible. Remember what happened when he was on that road and he was struck down and he met Jesus on that road and his life was changed radically? He has all this knowledge that he had before. He planted churches after that in some of the most unreachable places because he was a Roman citizen and he could go anywhere he wanted to go. And he does some marvelous works in the name of Jesus. And then he says these words that we heard today. "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good." Now we read that and we scratch our heads and say, what did he just say? So what is Paul saying here? To fully understand, we have to go back just a few verses to Paul's opening remarks on this issue back in verse 7. He says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law." You see, the law sets a standard. Every single one of us know about a law. From the time we were infants, there is a set of rules that we live by. For the most part, it is for our own safety and well-being. When my mother told me not to play in the street, there was a reason for that. She had a concern about me getting hit by a car. When I had to go to bed at a certain time, there was a reason for that. She wanted to make sure I was rested. So when I got up, I was ready for school, I had the energy that I needed. And as a society, we have laws to keep order and peace. A society cannot survive without laws. It would be anarchy. God himself gave his people laws. And the purpose is to set a standard of holiness. But we also have a free will to choose whether to do it or not to do it. And there's the struggle that Paul is referring to. We all struggle with sin. When you accept Jesus Christ into your life, it didn't mean that sin all of a sudden is irrelevant in your life. I don't know how many times I've talked to a person who just gave their life to Christ and they've experienced this new thing in their life, but they still say, I have the same struggle that I was struggling with before. How can God save me when I have this struggle going on within me? And I still want to do this, or I still want to do that. But here is Paul, the great theologian and planter of churches, who is struggling with the same things. You see, becoming a Christian doesn't mean that the battle stops. Each one of us has the same struggle in the same degree, one way or the other. It also doesn't mean that we throw away the law, throw it out the window, that it's no longer relevant. Scripture tells us that the law will be inscribed in our hearts through the Spirit. The law is still and always will be relevant in our lives. Jesus said, I'm the fulfillment of the law. I didn't come to abolish it. So there is a spiritual battle going on in the world around us. We live in a world where evil and good coexist. There is indeed those who don't even recognize what sin is, and there are those who do. So sin and the temptation to sin will always be with us. Jesus in his human form was not exempt from the temptation of sin. The one difference is he never gave in to it. The difference for us is that we who know Christ is we recognize sin for what it is, because it becomes a part of our spiritual DNA that is reborn in us through Christ. Quite honestly, it hurts even more. Sin becomes a conviction to the Christian's heart. When we sin, we know it. It's painful and it hurts in a spiritual sense. Everything inside us cries out. Some try to hide it. But you can't really hide what goes on in the heart. Our heart begins to grieve because what we are doing is grieving the Holy Spirit. So what do we do with this? What did Paul do? Paul acknowledged his sinfulness. He said, what a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from the body of death? And the answer, he gives his own answer to the question. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you look at this, you might think it's like a dual personality kind of thing, but that's not it at all. The fact is, plain and simple, we were once sinners, separated from God, who is redeemed through we are redeemed through grace, and there is a continuing desire to sin in the flesh, but we do have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ our Lord. Years ago, Debbie and I were at an event, and a couple was sitting in front of us, and I always have this picture in my mind when I talk about this. Their little boy was obviously exhausted and was falling asleep on the mom's shoulder, and he was gripping tightly onto a stuffed animal that he had as his arm dangled over his mom's shoulder. The dad just reached out and put his hand under the stuffed animal. He didn't take it from the boy, he just stuck his hand out underneath it. Finally, the boy went to sleep, gave up, and the animal dropped right into the father's hand. And I look at that act of love, reminded me so much of the love that God has for us. And sometimes we slip and fall, but the Father is right there with his hand outstretched to pick us up. Understand this, though. The fact that we sin isn't a license to sin. There's no repentance of the heart to say, I will go ahead and sin and then ask for forgiveness later. That'd be tempting God. That's kind of the theology that's right up there with the old saying, it's better to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. That's right out of the pit of deception, and it's dangerous. But knowing that Christ, by his Spirit, is there when we do fall, knowing that we are all growing in a work in process, is so reassuring. It's like trying to learn how to walk. At first, you take a few steps, and your parents are there trying to guide you to keep you from falling as you walk. Then you graduate to a bicycle, and you get on that bicycle, and you take off the training wheels, and you're off on your own with more responsibility as you drive or ride. But then you get into a car, and that becomes even more responsible, more laws to follow to keep you out of trouble. With each level of growth comes new responsibilities. We don't ignore the law, we grow in them. And the Holy Spirit, who is right there, helps us along the way. Look what Jesus said in our gospel reading today. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Jesus knows full well the struggles that we face, and we all face them. And we, at times, we make it so hard on ourselves instead of giving that burden to the Lord. He knows what we are up against. He was up against the same issues that we are up against. He was tempted in every way, bullied and pushed down like all of us have been at times. He took our sin upon himself. Then he goes on to say, take my yoke upon you. And then from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus has given us the analogy of a yoke, a wooden device that binds two oxen together. In most cases, it was a custom made to fit a particular neck of an ox so that when they went together, it wouldn't rub against the skin as harsh. This reduced the burden and the stress on the ox. Jesus, having been a carpenter, knows how to make his point with that. The way through the struggles we face is by continuing to yoke ourselves to Jesus. It comes through not just giving ourselves to him, but growing in him. It comes through not just relying on dealing with the sin in our lives, but to allow us to grow in him and to be by him along the way, through prayer, through study. One of the first questions I might ask someone who is struggling in their walk with the Lord is, what kind of foundation are you building on? Discipleship involves doing something with what God has given you. He has given us his word. He has given us the fellowship of believers to hold one another up. And most of all, he has given us himself as that foundation. Sin and the temptation to sin is all around us. It is always trying to pull us in one direction or another. And it always will be a conflict with the law and with Christ, the fulfillment of that law. But through his grace, we have a wonderful opportunity to overcome it. And when we do fall, we have the strength to get up, to go with him and with an open heart and seek forgiveness. And God, who is faithful and just, will always forgive us. Where are you today? Do you struggle with sin in your life? This past week, we celebrated the 241st birthday of this country. We remembered what this country has gone through and acquired the freedoms that we have. I submit to you that God the Father, through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, is offering each of us freedom like no other. Freedom from the bondage of sin. Give it to God today. Every Sunday we come together. Before we come to the altar, we offer a time of confession of sin. And during that prayer, I offer a pause. That pause isn't just there for us to rest for a few minutes. That pause is so that we can examine our heart. Is there something that you need to surrender to God? Is there something that holds you back in your walk with the Lord? Give it to him. Allow the Holy Spirit to reach into your heart today and heal what is broken. I want to encourage you to stay awake in the Lord. Allow him to fill you with his grace. Our psalm today reminds us the Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. Let us humble ourselves before the Lord. and allow him to build something wonderful in each of us. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you have done for us, that we can come to you, Lord God, in all of our frailness and all the things that are going on around us and all the things, how people treat us or whatever it is that's going on in our lives, Lord God, we can give it to you. So, Father, I ask for all of us today that you would just reach into our hearts, bring healing, bring wholeness. And, Father, I ask that you would just reach out your hand by your Spirit and touch each person here as we walk out of this place refreshed, renewed, and strengthened by your Spirit. And I thank you, Father, and I give it to you, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.